You ever read a book or watch a movie or hear a story and it just seems to kind of end and you think, well, wait a minute, what happened next? You know, it seems like there should be a little more to it than that. And I kind of feel that way about the book of Ezra, except I think we know what's going to happen next, because the book ends in chapter 10 with people deciding to do what's right, even though it's not easy. And when people decide to do what's right, especially when it's difficult, you got to know God's going to do something good in return. Amen? We have a good God. So there's not an Ezra chapter 11, but there's a Matthew chapter 1. In other words, we don't see what happens after this chapter that we've got here tonight. And in fact, if you look at the very last verse, it just says, all these had taken strange wives. Some of them had wives by whom they had children. And that's the end of the book. But this last chapter is a record of something that hadn't happened in a long, long, long time. And what I'm talking about is it's the first time in a long time that the Israelites had decided to listen to God and do what He said. That doesn't make their situation suddenly perfect, but when you're right with God, there's hope. There's a verse in the Psalms. I keep meaning to look up the reference. I remember it from a long time ago. It says, and I may paraphrase just a little bit here, but it says, happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You can have hope when you're right with God. Last night, I don't know, along about, 6 or 7 o'clock, I let my cat outside. And I've got two cats. One of them is not allowed outside, but the other one is just too ornery, and he fusses and moans until I just can't take it anymore. Get out. You know, I just can't. Go ahead. Go outside. So he didn't come in last night when we went to bed. And at about 3:20 this morning, the coyotes were so loud they woke me up from a sound sleep. I mean, they were right behind our fence. And I thought, oh, no, they got the cat. And I thought for sure that cat was going to be gone. And so this morning my wife, she had to be at work at 6:30, so she was up early. And at about 6 o'clock, here comes the cat. And I worry about the cat when he's outside because there's some bad things out there. It wouldn't take many coyotes. Probably one smart coyote could get that cat and do him in, and there were more than one last night. I feel the same way about people that get away from God and get out in the world. It doesn't take much to do them in. When you're away from the Lord, you're in dangerous territory. That's why Ezra is grieving in verse 1 of Ezra chapter 10. It says, he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And he's grieving over what has happened and what the Israelites have done because he knows how much they need God. Do you need God? If you couldn't have anything else but God, that's enough. If you had everything else but God, all the money and all the whatever power, whatever, if you had all that but you didn't have God, you're in big trouble. Let's just read a couple of verses. You can remain seated. Verse 6 is where I should have said, but not verse 1. Verse 6 is where he mourned. But anyway, we're in Ezra 10:6. It says, Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. When he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. And that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that tonight you'd impart upon us a desire to be right with you, like Ezra had a desire for the people to be right with you. And God, I pray tonight that we would understand that while we cannot change other people, we can be right with you. And because of that, we can know that there are blessings and there is protection and there is righteousness to come. And God, I pray tonight for each one here. Lord, just fill us with your Spirit. Give us a desire to please you, a desire to stay away from sin, and help us to see some things tonight in this passage that would make a difference in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see the scene. In fact, we just had a little illustration before church tonight. There's a whole bunch of people, and they have assembled because they were told, if you do not come to this assembly, you're going to forfeit your property. They were serious about this. Maybe we should do that for church, brother. If you miss church, we're going to come get your house. And not thinking that's going to work. We got to come to church because we love the Lord. Amen. But they said, if you don't come to this meeting, we're so serious about this. We want everybody there. If you don't come, two things are going to happen. First of all, you forfeit your property. And second, we're going to kick you out. You're going to be separated from Israel. So they all came, and you can just almost see it in your mind. They're in the streets of Jerusalem. Of course, it's not as magnificent as it once had been because it has been in disrepair for so long. But they're in the streets of Jerusalem, and it's raining, and it's cold, and they're uncomfortable. But, you know, sometimes maybe God needs to remind us a little bit. Sin should make us uncomfortable. This wouldn't have had to happen if they hadn't have committed the sin. Now, just think of the practicalities here. The problem is God told them in the law not to marry the people of the land, not to marry the idolaters and the people that were not Israelites. They did not worship God. He said, you're not allowed to do this. But they came back into the land, and a bunch of them have. And in fact, I read you that last verse. It's kind of fascinating. It says these, and there's a list of names here. I'm not going to read them, but they start in verse 20, and they go all the way down to verse 43. It says, these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. And do you understand? The plan is all those that had taken strange wives have got to give them up. That's tough. So all those that had children by those strange wives, they have to separate from them. I cannot explain that. I just know that that's what they decided to do, and it's what they decided to do in order to be right with God. But folks, there are some people that think mistakenly that when you have sinned, as long as you feel bad about it, that's enough. But we need to make things right. I'll give you an example. Let's say some fellow is a thief, and he breaks into houses and steals things. And he comes to me and he says, Pastor, he says, I need to talk to you. He says, I'm a thief and I break into houses and steal things. I really feel bad about it. And I ask him, well, what are you going to do? Well, I prayed and asked God to forgive me, but I plan to keep on breaking into houses and stealing things. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Or a murderer. Well, I feel bad about killing people, but I'm going to keep on killing people. Or you could think of other illustrations. A liar, somebody that tells lies all the time, and they say, I feel bad about this. I tell lies all the time, but I'm going to keep on doing it. Folks, I've met people going door to door, and they know that they're doing wrong. And they say this to me. They say, well, you know, God will forgive me. Yeah, God will forgive you, but don't we have something to do too? Amen? And it may not be easy. In this case, the giving up of the wives and the children, it's a difficult thing. In fact, and I'm not going to read the whole passage to you, but I'll kind of tell you the story. After they get together on this in this meeting, they gather in verse 9. That's the ninth month in the 20th day. And they said, you know, in verse 13, there's a lot of people that have sinned, and this is raining like crazy. And we can't stand out here in the rain and solve this problem. And besides, this is not something we can do in a day or two. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of paraphrasing for the sake of time. He says, and many have transgressed in this thing in verse 13. So let now our rulers of all the congregation stand. Let all them which have taken strange wives come at appointed times. And it takes them about 10 days to get this thing going. But they deal with it one situation at a time. And they're going to deal with it until they get it right. Poor Mr. Mendez. That's what he does. One situation at a time. We have every day in school, we have situations. It's a short story. We had a problem with our internet because this lady across the street, the pole that our internet's connected to is in her yard. And so the guys that came to work on it, they looked up there and they said, well, the gate's locked and we can't get in there. And Mr. Mendez found out who the lady was and got a phone number for her. And so today, they came back and she came over and opened the gate and they fixed the internet and all got it all taken care of. And, you know, sometimes you just take things one thing at a time. That's just one thing Mr. Mendez had to deal with, what, 2 days ago, yesterday? Not to mention the students that weren't behaving and the people that are sick and those kind of things. But folks, when things pile up in your life, what do? You take them one at a time, amen? And sometimes there's a few things to pray about. Sometimes there's a lot of things to pray about. Sometimes there's one thing to pray about. But God knows. And we just need to remember that when we take it to Him, He knows how to deal with all of them. And we may be the ones that have to take the time to do them one at a time. But we take them to God and we get them done one at a time. They said, you know, there's a lot of people here that have transgressed. So let's get together, have them meet one with us, one at a time, at appointed times. And look at the end of verse 14. Until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. That's their concern. They want to be right with God. Young or old, high school students, retired people, everybody in between. I hope you want to be right with God. Amen? I want to be right with God. I sin. And when I sin, I pray and ask God to forgive me. I want to be right with God. Because, and we won't take too long here, but as you get down to verse 19, they've got this plan they put together. And, it's pretty straightforward. In verse 16, they sat down on the first day of the 10th month. That's 10 days after this first meeting. And they make an end with all the men. In other words, they have a plan. They come to a conclusion. They decide what they're going to do. And the sons of the priests had done this. And verse 19, they gave their hands. They all agreed they would put away their wives and being guilty. And they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. And folks, we have a sacrifice for our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have this list of names. There's some lists of names in the Bible that are good lists, like the genealogy of Christ. Wouldn't you kind of hate to have your name in the Bible because you were one of the people that sinned? But that's okay, because they didn't just sin, they made it right. So that goes all the way down to the very next to the last verse in the chapter. And then he says in verse 44, all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. And that's the end of the book. What happens next? Well, I'm not worried about it because they got right with God. God's in control of what happens next. Amen? I cannot change, and you cannot change much, if anything, about how other people are with God. I can pray for them, and I think, honestly, we talked about this last week, the reason it came this far is because of Ezra's prayer. So the thing we can do to change other people's pray for them. just like every morning we pray for our students, and every night on Wednesdays that we pray, and we pray on Sundays, and hope you pray every day. And we pray for God to change folks, open their eyes, convict them, make them see what's important in life, and not waste their life and to spend it for Christ. And for people that are caught up in sin, for God to open their eyes and deliver them from that. But I can't change what other people do a whole lot, although there's some pretty strict enforcement here. But I can change what I do. Amen? At the end of Ezra, there's hope. They had a right attitude. They dealt with the sin. In fact, it was more important to Ezra than eating or drinking. It was more important than the comfort of the weather and so forth. They took action. It wasn't enough to mourn. They corrected things. They made things right. They assembled. They got united. Everyone in the company had to be involved. They didn't let anybody be excluded. Then they were attentive. 3 days later, they assembled. They stayed in spite of the rain and cold, and they agreed. And I like verse 12. We'll end with that. The congregation answered and said with a loud voice, "As thou hast said, so must we do." They cooperated with the correction. Be a good thing for us to be able to say that to the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? Amen. As thou hast said, so must we do. Then we have a list of names, and then we have one little comment, and the book ends. But I want you to know something. Just because the story stops there doesn't mean God stops there. Amen? And it's kind of interesting. I mention this every now and then. A lot of us, you've got something going on in your life. In fact, we go from something to something to something. You got some situation in your life, some care in your life, some problem or some obstacle or some concern, and like the situation with the roof leaking and tearing up the house. Wow, that's a lot of work. And who knows what all got damaged and how the insurance company is going to handle it. I bought a water filter from a guy in our church one time in Maryland or in Utah, and it got a pinhole leak in it. $1,700 later, we repaired all the damage that little pinhole leak did. But the insurance company paid for, I think, all but $500, something like that. But little things can turn into big things. If you stay right with God, or if you get right with God, the end of the story is in His hands. Amen? God chose not to tell us any more details about these folks, but isn't it enough that we know that they wanted to be right with God? When you want to be right with God, and when you get right with God and stay right with God, He's in control of the story. There's not a whole lot more that needs to be said. We're not going to go into Nehemiah. We're going to go to another book after we finish tonight. But you can read Nehemiah and see a few more things. But I just keep thinking, these people, because they got right with God, I know God's going to take care of them. God's going to take care of us, amen? There may be something we need to do to get right with Him. It's not just a matter of feeling bad. It's a matter of doing right. And then we hand the story off to God, and He ends it the way it should be ended, in a good way, amen? Let's all stand and pray.